Almighty and most holy God, in walks of life, but we all come to see you, Jesus. We all come to hear from you. And so, Jesus, preach your word into our hearts this morning. And may your spirit move deeply within each and every one of us. Draw us up to you, Almighty God. See us, bring us comfort, and care for us with your word. We pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Be joyful in the Lord.
All the lands be
served the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before God's presence with a song. Be joyful, be joyful in the Lord.
I invite you to stand as you are able for our call to worship. The God of ages past and days to come is here,
inviting us to be joyful in your worship and praise.
The God of promises and challenges is with us,
calling us to faithful service.
The God of boundless love is with us,
making every one of God's promises possible.
Thank you.
God delights in you, and God delights in your singing and your praise and adoration, for God is with us. We turn now to our Psalter lesson, which is from Psalm 116, and we'll read it responsively. I love the Lord who has heard my voice and my supplications.
And has inclined his ears to me whenever I call.
What shall I return to the Lord for all my benefits?
I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord.
I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people.
Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones.
O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the child of your handmaid. You have loosed my bonds.
I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord.
I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his peoples.
In the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord.
You may be seated, and as you are seated, our children are invited to come forward for a message with Reverend Parker.
Thank you all. Hi, friends. Can I tell? What? Did I get a present? I don't know. Bulbasaur goldfish. That's so cool. Thank you, Elise. Can I tell you guys a story? So there's a story in the book of Genesis, which is at the very beginning of the Bible in the Old Testament in chapter 18, and it's about Abraham and Sarah. Do you know about Abraham and Sarah? No, they were a long, long, long time ago. But God promised them something really cool. He promised them that they were going to have a baby boy named Isaac, and that God would work through Isaac to bring about good things for all people, which is wonderful news. But here's the problem. Abraham hadn't told Sarah about this plan. And you shouldn't keep secrets, especially dads should not keep secrets from their mom, should they? No, bad news. So God comes to make sure that Sarah knows the promise. And when God tells Sarah about this promise, she laughs because she thinks this is a whole funny joke. And God is funny, which we might not always think so, but God's being very, very funny here. But do you know what God says when Sarah laughs? He says, is anything too big for God to do? And the answer is no. God can do so, so much. And we should always have hope because of all of the wonderful things that God can do. So whenever we face any problems or anything in life that maybe seems too big for us, we can always know that God is bigger than everything else. You know, there was an old VeggieTales song. Do any of you guys know about VeggieTales? You do? Okay. See, it was popular when I was a kid, but it said God is bigger than the boogeyman, and he's bigger than Godzilla and the monsters on TV. And that always was good for me when I was your age. So God is bigger than anything, and God can do anything. So we should always have hope. Bigger than Godzilla. That's right, Elise. Why don't I pray for us, and then we can go to Children's Church. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you indeed can do all things, and that you give us hope, that nothing is too big for you to handle. We are so thankful that even with the immensity and enormity of who you are, you take pleasure in us and see us and our problems. and that you want to help us overcome them. Lord, we just pray that all of these children are lights in the world and represent you as they go into all of their fun summer activities. And we give thanks for the joy that they bring us. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
I don't know about you, but I yearn to bask in God's holy presence. Sometimes I get distracted and I forget that God is right here in our midst loving us. So let us take some time to pray our yearnings, to pray our confession, and to be mindful of the fact that God never, ever leaves us. Let us pray together. We love you, O God, and we yearn to rest in your steadfast love. When we are restless, calm our spirits with your Holy Spirit. When we are lost, guide us back to you. When we are threatened, be our protective shepherd. We can't go this alone, O God. Be with us and remind us that you are with us. Help us to believe, even where we have not seen, that your loving promises may bless our lives and guide our steps. In faith and trust we pray. Amen. God listens closely to the deepest yearnings of our hearts. God is listening now. God has heard the cry of your heart and will be steadfast in love and grace to answer our every need. Glory to God.
Amen.
Be with you. Let us pray. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you are indeed a God of hope and a God of joy. You fill us with your presence and bring us abundant joy, joy that we might laugh, joy that we might enjoy one another in community and love. And you fill us with hope in the midst of dark times, but also in the midst of joyous seasons, where we look to you and know that despite anything in the world, wherever we are, wherever we might find ourselves, whatever situation, whether personal or corporate, we know that you will set all things right. And we can trust that you will do that. And Lord, we acknowledge that as we come into this space, we are filled with different emotions. We all represent different places and stages of life, different circumstances, and yet you understand each and every one of us. Those of us who are experiencing great joy, excitement, wonder, you are right there with us, amplifying our joys and filling us with further hope. For those of us who are experiencing grief or sorrow, you come alongside us as a comforter. You mourn with us and you sustain us, giving us hope for a better future. And for those of us who may be somewhere in the middle,
or even feel in this world that we are in, numb, or as if we are sitting in the passenger seat of life as the world passes us by. We know that your presence is there with us, even as we do not feel it. And Lord, I pray for those who are in that place that you are rousing them to see you, to have an experience of you in the midst of those moments in life that feel numb. Lord Jesus, we intercede on behalf of our community, knowing that you have called us to be your hands and your feet. Lord, lead us into ministry to those around us and around the world who are poor, who are struggling and hurting, who are experiencing homelessness, who are wrestling with struggles of mental health or addiction. Lord Jesus, may you give us eyes to see people as you see them, as people created in your image of infinite value and worth, as your children, who we are called indeed to love and to serve as brothers and sisters. Lord Jesus, we intercede on behalf of our world and we pray for peace in all things. There are so many conflicts in our world, in our own country, those that make the news and those that do not, those that affect us and those that may be a mystery around the world, but they are no mystery to you. We pray that you are working to bring peace. We know that you are working to bring peace, but we pray that you lead your church to be instruments of peace in the world rather than to sowing further divisions. Lord, we know that you are constantly working in our midst, even in ways that surprise us, as you surprise Abraham and Sarah. And Lord, we pray that our eyes are attuned and our ears are attuned to the ways that you are working, even in surprising ways in our midst. And we pray that you would lead us further into unity with our brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, such as those who have come to join us and are on their way to be your hands and feet. Lord, we pray that our dear friends who have come back to visit us will go to serve you well, and that they will be your hands and feet, but equally that they will be transformed through the means of grace of service. And Lord, we know that you draw us into unity with churches around our country, around our community, and around the world. And in that act of unity, we pray as you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I would now like to invite our ushers to come forward to receive our morning tithes and offerings.
Thank you.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, pour out your blessings upon these gifts, and pour out your blessings upon each and every one of us as well, as we give fully and completely to you and your kingdom in response to your gracious love. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated.
Our scripture lesson for today comes from Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 15. The Lord appeared again to Abraham near the oak grove belonging to Mamre. One day, Abraham was sitting at the entrance to his tent during the hottest part of the day. He looked up and noticed three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he ran to meet them and welcomed them, bowing low to the ground. "My Lord," he said, "if it pleases you, stop here for a while. Rest in the shade of this tree while water is brought to wash your feet. And since you've honored your servant with this visit, let me prepare some food to refresh you before you continue on your journey." "All right," they said, "do as you have said." So Abraham ran back to the tent and said to Sarah, "Hurry, get three large measures of your best flour, knead it into dough, and bake some bread." Then Abraham ran out to the herd and chose a tender calf and gave it to his servant, who quickly prepared it. When the food was ready, Abraham took some yogurt and milk and the roasted meat, and he served it to the men. As they ate, Abraham waited on them in the shade of the trees. "Where is Sarah, your wife?" the visitors asked. "She's inside the tent," Abraham replied. Then one of them said, "I will return to you about this time next year, and your wife Sarah will have a son." Sarah was listening to this conversation from the tent. Abraham and Sarah were both very old by this time, and Sarah was long past the age of having children. So she laughed silently to herself and said, "How could a worn-out woman like me enjoy such pleasure, especially when my master, my husband, is also so old?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh? Why did she say, 'Can an old woman like me have a baby?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return about this time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she denied it, saying, "I didn't laugh." But the Lord said, "No, you did laugh." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks
be to God.
That's my favorite part of this whole verse or whole scripture reading, when God says that. We'll get to that for sure. You know, there are some of us who have this wonderful spiritual gift of excelling at waiting and being patient. Now, I am not one of those persons, and I am so amazed that those of you who are really, really good at that. But waiting is hard, isn't it? I bet, you know, for all of our brothers and sisters from up north, waiting is pretty tough, isn't it? I mean, you're constantly waiting for things. And it's tough, at least for some of us. Some of us may be waiting on grades coming in, or you're waiting on a job that you've interviewed for and you're excited about. Maybe you have been sick for a while and you've been waiting on a diagnosis to kind of give you an idea about, how do I treat this, whatever it is that I'm dealing with? Maybe you're of an age where you are working now, but you're young, maybe newly married, and you would love to have a house. But the dream of a house seems so distant for you because just saving up enough money for a down payment is almost impossible. And so you have this dream and you wait and you wait and you wait for it, but it seems to never happen. And then there are those of us who have experienced the difficulty of waiting for a child. Certainly, my wife and I have had those painful journeys as well. But that is particularly one of the most painful ones, I think, to wait and to yearn for a baby and nothing. And there's this promise, isn't there? At least we think about it, where, oh, I'm young, you know, I should be able to have a child, and yet nothing happens. Well, I want to set the scene for you a little bit with this wonderful text from Genesis. Let's go back 24 years prior to the events of this particular passage. Abraham is 75 years old, and he has had some conversations with God, and God at that time had said, I'm going to make a great nation of you. He had Abraham come and dwell in Canaan. The whole house moved, you know, and all of the animals and it all came. These tent people, they came to Canaan under God's leadership. And yet, over all of those years that were to follow, no heir made an appearance. And I'm sure that Abraham and Sarah are like, oh, when is this going to happen? You know, God promised, we're, you know, no child yet. They began worrying that maybe one of their household would instead be the one who would inherit everything. So they were waiting and they were waiting. Well, then Sarah and Abraham, and I include Abraham in this, they hatched this plot. What if we go and talk with Hagar, my handmaiden, and you have a child with her? Problem solved. And Abraham agreed to it, and that's what they did. And as soon as, of course, Ishmael, their son, Hagar and Abraham's son, was born, well, there was family drama, as you would expect, right? I mean, it just, out of the machinations of human trickery, here we go. We're trying to always find a way to outdo or kind of make a way when God has already promised something for us. And that's what happened. 11 years after that promise was given to Abraham when he was 75. Here he's 86 now. Ishmael came. Now, Abraham is 99. So it's 24 years later. Sarah's 90. And this promise that God had given them, this promise of hope, I think over time, probably transformed into this old wound. that kind of wound in your own life, you know, when you are reminded of it, or you maybe somebody asks about it. Maybe if you've never had the ability to have children and that time has passed and you people ask, well, do you have any children or grandchildren? It's that kind of that old wound that just pops up. It's like, shh. And you may laugh about it a little bit just because that's the only thing you can do to cope without bursting into tears. And this is our dear friends, Abraham and Sarah. Into that 24-year-long silence, three strangers appear at high noon at Abraham's tent. Now, I think, and Parker was also sharing this with the children as well, I wonder out loud with you, that this visit of the three strangers is actually a visit for Sarah, not Abraham. Now, there has been a lot of study on who are these three strangers. Of course, we know God is involved. Some have suggested, especially in the early church, that this was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit coming to visit Abraham and Sarah. Other scholars have said that it is God, the Father, and he is accompanied by two angels, one on either side. Whatever it might be, though, here they are, and Abraham is trying to kind of compensate for all sorts of things here. Did you catch kind of underneath of all of these texts, he's a little nervous, maybe? He kind of overreacts a little bit. You know, a small little lamb or a goat would have been just enough to feed these three. He goes out and gets a calf. It's more than enough. What's going on here? Well, again, I think there's a lot of long history going on here. Of course, again, they were promised a descendant. Abraham and Sarah had taken it upon themselves to fix the problem. This wrecks the family, of course. And do you remember the story of Hagar and Ishmael and what happened to them as Sarah dismissed them out into the wilderness? They were alone, and they wept, and they called out to God. This is the worst. This is awful. 13 years after Hagar and Ishmael were sent out into the desert, God comes back when he's 99 years old, comes to Abraham and says, Abraham, buddy, let's revisit this again. Remember, I told you that Sarah would have a son. And Abraham's like, right, that's not going to happen. You and I know that. And then he even tries to compensate for it, and he starts having this little argument with God. Really, you probably mean Ishmael, right? My heir, my lineage will be through Ishmael. And God was like, stop it, Abraham. I said that your son would come from Sarah. What are you not getting here? Are you dense? One of my favorite lines from Back to the Future is, hello, McFly. You remember? There's a little bit of a, hello, McFly. Are you awake there? To poor Abraham. The question is, after this last visit with God, after this affirmation that Sarah would have a son, I wonder if Abraham just went back home and just kind of kept it all to himself. Because it almost seems like Sarah is just not quite aware of all of the things that have happened. Now, the interesting thing is this concerns her, and she's in the dark. And I think that God is very much aware of this. And so God shows up with two angels, comes to the tent. Abraham's busy being all hospitable and all of this. I wonder if he's realized the error of his way. in this moment. And here they are, and the three men, they're eating. The Lord God is there eating with them. And Abraham is behind them and maybe wringing his hands just a little bit because he's trying to take care of these people. And then all of a sudden, God says, very much breaking cultural taboos at that time, you never ever would ask about another man's wife in this era. And God says, where's Sarah? Now, isn't it interesting that God, of course, this stranger, knows her name? That would have been another red flag in this culture. You know my wife's name, and you know my wife? What are you talking about? What do you know? Where's Sarah? It's a little bit like, let me frame it to you like this. Here is Abraham, and he's at this meal with these three strangers. God is one of them. And all of a sudden, all of the truth of what he may have not entirely shared with the family and with Sarah is starting to unravel a little bit in this moment. It reminds me a little bit when you were kids, you know, did you go out in the summer and you would play? You would play all day. Your parents, at least when I was a kid, would say, go out. I don't want to see you till the lights come on the streets. And we would go, wild as we were, and we would run the streets and play in the creek and do all kinds of things. Well, we did have some rules that we had to abide by. We weren't allowed to go past certain streets. And there was this little store that we as kids loved to go to. It was this little kind of corner store. And we had to ask permission to go to that. Maybe you all had something like that yourself. And they had all kinds of things. They had baseball cards, and they had those little wooden airplanes that you could put together. And you put a rubber band on them, you know, and twirl the little propeller, and then you could, and off they'd go. And they had firecrackers, too. And so there was one day where we wanted to go. I know you all did this too, right? We wanted to go, and I just decided, Mom would say yes. There's no sense in just talking about this at all and asking her. I'm just going to go on and go with my friends. And off we trotted up to the store. We bought our planes and our firecrackers and M-80s and all kinds of other things. And then we had a wonderful afternoon of making those airplanes and tying on the firecrackers, lighting them up, and zoom, and boom! It was the greatest thing ever. I mean, that's just the way it was in my childhood. And then that night, Mom and Dad were cooking hot dogs and hamburgers, and they said to a couple of my friends, just stay. You know, we were playing in the yard, and they said, just stay, we'll feed you. And so Mom and Dad, as probably your parents did, they ask about your day. That's right. What'd you all do today? And my friends said, oh, well, we went up to the store and we bought firecrackers and baseball cards and those airplanes and we played war all afternoon. And Mom was like, oh, really? And the whole time, I hope this has been your experience. Otherwise, I'm really outing myself here. I'm like going, hush, stop, don't talk anymore. You're getting me in trouble. But they kept on talking, and they it was really a fascinating evening with Mom and Dad. But that's going on here with Abraham, it feels like. God is there, and he's come to talk to Sarah because she probably has been left out of this whole thing. And Abraham's sitting there like, don't talk anymore. You know, I haven't told her yet. In a good time, I'll tell her. And God is saying, where is Sarah? Did you tell her? Why did she laugh? I love it because Sarah heard from God directly. God's up to some holy mischief here. It really, really is neat. Because see, God sees behind the flap of the tent. He sees things that people often overlook, and he sees people that other people often overlook. You could go through all of the Bible, and one of the things that this wonderful book would show you from front cover to back cover is the beautiful nature of God. And one of the components of his nature is how he sees those who are overlooked by us, by society in general. That's just God. You see it all the way through the Bible. That's God's nature. And here is God showing up to be and talk with Sarah. And there's this wonderful conviviality to the conversation. This is not some Sinai voice booming from up on top of the mountain. No, this is a loving God kidding around with two older people that he dearly loves. Sarah felt it. And she may have been just really laughing to herself real quietly in the tent, but God knew. And she said, "I didn't laugh. It's not funny." And God said, "Oh, yes, you did. Yes, you did." You know, many people live behind the tent doors, and they're never seen. It could be you who are a quiet servant here in church, and you sit on the back pews, and you are involved in all sorts of things at church, but you never get any notice. You're never thanked, nothing like that. You're overlooked, but you keep on quietly serving. Maybe you're a widow who your spouse died 2 or 3 years ago, and all of the mail and all of the bills still come in your spouse's name, and you feel overlooked. Maybe you know of some folks who are old enough in their years that they have to live in a nursing home, and people in nursing homes, they're overlooked and they're forgotten. Certainly within my life, I've noticed that people who experience disabilities in their life, they can be vibrant and part of the community, and they're going to high school or whatever, they're very involved, and then all of a sudden something happens, and then they disappear. I saw that really tragically with teenagers when I was working in my other career, and they would come into the hospital after having broken their neck, and their life has changed, and they become these unseen people from then on out who spend most of their time in the home. Maybe it's a person who gives up a career in order to take care of a child or a member of the family. These are the overlooked in our church family and in our community. People that live behind tent doors. People that have had all of these promises in their life that may have become wounds over time. Because they had hopes and dreams too, and that didn't pan out quite the way that it had hoped. They had hoped. But what does God do? God searches the overlooked out and speaks to them and sees them. He did with Sarah. But, you know, there's this other wonderful thing that happens too, that we might close the story on for Ishmael and Hagar. You remember them, right? Hagar was Abraham's other wife, Ishmael his other son. While they were out being banished from the family by Sarah, and they're weeping, an angel comes to comfort them and care for them. And Hagar gives God a name. El Roi, which means the God who sees, the God who saw me. We come to church, and sometimes we walk through the doors of this holy sanctuary, and we feel like that we're the unseen ones behind a tent flap. And how neat is it that this sanctuary is actually designed to be a tent or look like a tent? And you may feel very invisible or that God has overlooked you somehow, but I can assure you that God hasn't. In fact, if I know God's heart as well as I think I do, He's probably paying more attention to you than some of the rest of us because He knows your need. And He would say to you, oh, overlooked, there is nothing that is impossible with me, with God. Let us pray. Almighty God, there are seasons and moments of our own life where we feel hidden behind the cloth or the veil of the circumstances of life and some of the great promises or hopes and dreams that we hold to have vanished and left nothing but wounds. Even Sarah, in her wise age, chuckled underneath of her breath because she was quite sure that these sorts of things don't happen. And yet, they do. Almighty God, we have the wonder and the joy and the awe of serving you, a God who surprises us continually, a God who dies, and all of our expectations of this life would be that you were good and dead, and yet that was wrong. You are alive. Help us when we feel overlooked, when we're desperate, and speak into our ears right now in the power of your Spirit the same kind of words that you spoke to Sarah, saying, I see you. And nothing is too difficult for me. Confirm our faith and reign over us, O loving God, all of the days of our life, so that we might be one day joined with you and all of the company of heaven as we graciously and joyfully surround your throne. We pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our closing hymn, Wonderfully So, is God Whose Love is Reigning Over Us. And I invite you, as you sing these beautiful words, to not only pay attention to the words that you're singing, but also just perhaps imagine how God spreads His wings over us in the moments where we are vulnerable. And His love is there for us. Let us stand and sing together. brothers and sisters in Christ, you are the descendants of Abraham and his faith. You are the descendants of Sarah's story, and we are bound together because of the work of God in us. And so as you go into the world this week to serve and to care for others, who truly, many, much of Kentucky has overlooked and forgotten, as you go into the world of the people that you work with and that you love, you are the source of hope and truth of a God who never overlooks, but always sees. Peace of Christ be with you now and forever. Amen.